long shot for a big score? You need Silly Underdog Picks.
There's no need to fear. Underdog is here.
It may be a long shot, but it's all you've got. It's time to pick your dark horse.
Not your nose.
This is Silly Underdog Picks.
Brought to you by Volunteer Hose and Gasket.
Silly Underdog Picks. Now on Darren, Donick, and Chase.
There's no need to fear. Underdog is here. Underdog is here.
If I'm being totally honest, I've had more fun picking my nose than these picks. That's just honesty for me. Darren McFarland, Chase McCabe alongside Ryan Porth. This should make everybody, well, should make definitely one member of the panel very happy. That would be Kelly Holcomb. Ryan Porth sitting in for the commission.
Why does that make Kelly Holcomb happy?
Because he's been complaining about the commissioner's work or lack of for years.
Okay. Well, I'm going to be completely honest. I haven't done a whole lot of work going into this, you know, fill-in for
Willie
Donick.
It's not your job. That's his point. That's his job.
Mm-hmm.
It's not your job. But I know I don't know if you're an assistant, if you're a deputy or what, you're going to take up for
all of the above.
The commissioner, but
sure.
Kelly's point is it's his job to do that stuff.
Yeah, it is Willie's job to do that stuff.
Yeah. And what's he doing right now?
Probably watching grown men skate on ice.
They're not even skating yet.
Oh, you never know.
No, I do know, actually.
Coyotes may have a different schedule.
You think he's watching the Coyotes right now?
Sure. Why not?
Yeah. Okay. Forever Titan wide receiver Chris Sanders.
Hey, Butch.
Yeah, didn't get a check-in from you this weekend. Buddy, what's going on? How's everything going?
Hey, I just need to ask, have you won any yet?
Uh-huh.
I'm just asking. I mean, yeah. the fans want to know.
Well, first of all, you would know. You would know, and everybody else would know. So if I'm being quiet or start off the hour by saying I would rather pick my nose than make these picks, I think you kind of know the answer there, Chris Sanders.
Yeah. Yes. Well, I'm glad you're doing good, man. You're a guy that is just a good sport, but you just keep on losing.
I know.
It's very nice of you.
And I know you're rooting for me.
Yeah, no, I'm not.
Yeah, I know. You could at least... lied. Who do you have? Yeah. Who do you guys play tonight?
No, we're off this week.
You're off. Okay.
Yes, I'm headed to Gatlinburg, and I'm going to get on every ride at Dollywood.
Oh.
That'll be fun.
That'll be fun.
Yeah, I'm going to have a little fun, man. And me and my girlfriend's going up there. We're going to have a good time, and we're just going to gloat that we're still in first place.
Hey, are you scared of heights?
No, not really.
Okay,
not really.
They've got a big new, it's brand new, and I think it's the tallest, like, walking bridge in the U.S.
That.
Yeah, where you just go across, two mountains.
No, I'm not doing that. That's a wrap.
Okay, well, I just a friendly suggestion.
I'm not doing that. I'll eat a whole bunch of food and just gloat on my wins.
Okay.
That's all.
Let's bring in one Kelly Holcomb. I know they have a big matchup tonight. A little battle of Rutherford County, the Patriots and the Warriors. Kelly, what's going on?
Well, it's actually tomorrow night, but I'd like to play it tonight.
Did I say tonight?
You did.
There are a lot of games tonight, I think.
I'm sorry. I meant tomorrow night.
Hey, I've got two things. Is there any way that Chris can get off and we can put his girlfriend on the phone? just go ahead and make that change. And two... I like the commiss talk, but is the commiss trying to be a real commissioner with texting everybody standings now? He's never done that in the 10 years that I've done this, and now he's starting, since he's getting a little heat from me, he's starting to put everybody's, you know, wins and losses and what we did last. I mean, are we serious?
Well, I think this is you kind of – I don't know if you meant to pat yourself on the back, but I think he's feeling the heat, what you said.
I think so, too. So he's acting like a commissioner finally.
Hey, it took long enough.
Well, if he was acting like the commissioner, he'd be on the air right now. I mean, that's just me.
Ooh.
That's just me. Burn! Hashtag burn!
That's true. LOL.
Real quick, Kelly, through your quarterback eyes, let's... What did you make of the move?
Do you have the keys?
Yeah. Hey, give Chris his keys. Can you give Chris his keys?
Oh,
He's looking for his keys.
No, actually,
I'm going to put him on hold.
What did I think of the move?
Ryan Tannehill is going to be the starter. What do you think?
Yeah, I knew it was coming. Did y'all know it's coming too? I mean, it just looks like Marcus has lost his confidence. I mean, I truly believe that. I mean, he's got a deal now that in the National Football League, and Chris will tell you this. I mean, quarterbacks cannot wait for a guy to be open. We have to throw them open. And it seems like Marcus is just waiting for guys to be open, and he's just unsure of himself. That's just what it looks like to me.
In all seriousness, can you explain to everybody out there listening, and I'm being serious with this because there's a lot of people, fans think if you're a professional athlete and you're at the highest level and you get paid millions of dollars, you are always just oozing with confidence.
And I've tried to explain
to people, professional athletes lose confidence all the time. Can you?
Confidence, that's what I try to explain to my son. Confidence is a very fleeting thing, man. One day you can be up, and then the next game you lose your confidence, and then it takes a couple of snaps. It might even take the rest of the game to get you going again. But if you start, it's just like a batter in professional baseball. He gets into a slump. I mean, that gets into your head. Confidence is a fleeting thing sometimes, and it just looks like he's not playing with any. It looks like he's waiting for receivers to get open. In the National Football League, you cannot do that. You have to anticipate where the defender's going, and you have to throw it off guys' ears. You have to throw it in front of them. The windows from college and the pros are totally different, and it just looks like he's kind of, he's waiting for guys to get open instead of throwing them open. And it's a confidence deal right now for him.
Hmm. I'm a professional broadcaster. I make millions, and this contest has made me lose all of my confidence. So there's another prime example. Somebody who's never lost confidence is one Derek Mason. He is definitely oozing with confidence. D-Mace, a part of Morning Drive, Monday through Friday, 6 to 10 a.m. Derek, how are you?
Hey, I'm doing well. How about the sales?
Going fantastic. How's the cell service in the gated community?
Hey, man, it's spotty at best right now. I'm sitting on the counter, my right arm up, and my left eye closed. So hopefully the signal will stay as it is.
Okay. If you could send the pool boy home and walk out to the pool, I think there's better service out there. We'll see if we can work on that. Or go to the West Wing, if you could. Nick Kale is also a part of Morning Drive with D-Mace, Monday through Friday, 6 a.m. to 10 a.m. Nick, how are you?
D-Mac, much like the Titans, I've lost my confidence. I can't string together wins. I'm seeking answers.
It's real. That's what we're trying to tell. That's the message today. It's real. You can lose your confidence.
Agreed, and I'm with you as well. I've had more fun lately picking my nose and my butt, to be honest.
Okay, well, you went a step further. Thank you for that graphic. Ryan Porth, this is where you step in and become the commissioner.
Yes, so last week online, our winner was Kim Venable. She had a weekly score of 32 points. She is the winner of a pair of tickets to the Music City Bowl at Nissan Stadium on December 30th. So congratulations to Kim. Now, to recap what you guys did last week, can we just make this quick and say all of y'all were losers?
Oh, we were over?
Yeah, you don't want to do a true review?
No, we'll do a true review.
How bad were we?
But I'm talking to a bunch of losers right now.
Wow.
Let me make that clear. I'm kidding. So Derek Mason had the first pick last week. He confidently picked Rutgers. .5 dogs at Indiana, and they lose. And Indiana covered. Indiana wins 35-0.
Yeah. D-Mace, your thoughts?
Good talk.
That was a pretty good point. Moving on.
Second up, Kelly Holcomb taking Texas State. 3 points. Home dogs against Louisiana Monroe. And Texas State covered, making it 24-14. Or excuse
me. No, 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 they did not.
Monroe covered.
Yeah.
Excuse me. Sorry. Monroe covered. Monroe wins 24-14. Kelly was 5-1 in the contest going into last week. He is now 5-2. Chase McKay.
What? Kelly? Oh,
Kelly, your reaction?
Well, I mean, I was in the game. We just had 2 4 downs and we didn't, you know, we were in the game. So I didn't lose that bad. I mean, you know, and what did I text you, Darren? What did I text you after that? You remember?
Well, I remember texting you saying, "Nice pick."
Yeah, and then I said, "If Temple won,
you
I'm
did,
be pissed.
You
yeah.
did, you did do did. That, and they did."
Yep. There you go.
Next up, it was Chase McCabe.
No.
Taking the Florida Gators, 13.5-point dogs on the road in Baton Rouge, and LSU covered 42-28. Chase McCabe moves to 0-7. On
so
the
not
season.
Only so you are making a point to say that everybody covered. So you're saying all the picks were not only bad, they also lost against this.
I'm glad you've picked up on the subtle hint there. Yeah.
See, I feel like, you know, I've made life changes this week.
Have you?
I went to the gym.
You've been working out.
You've been Thomas Rhett this week. You've made life changes?
Yeah, I did. I saw Thomas Rhett. He did the song Life Changes, and then I made life changes. I went to the gym. I've gone 3 days so far this week, and I'm hurting, and, you know, it's helping me think about things. You know, while I'm sitting there working out, I'm thinking about my picks and, you know, Kelly and Chris, and, you know, they're trash talking, and so I'm ready to try and get these demons out and just get on the board.
Okay.
That was inspiring. Thank you.
I'm ready to run through a wall now.
Good.
I'm ready to go the Y.
Next up, Chris Sanders.
Yes, sir.
Taking Oregon State. 14-point. I'm not laughing. 14-point home dogs to the Utah Utes. And Utah covered with a 52-7 win over Oregon State.
What are you?
52-7.
I turned the game off in the first quarter. I said, "This is a wrap." And I was frustrated. And my girlfriend was like, "I told you not to pick them, so I picked wrong." So it was just a
You got to listen to her.
Mm. I got to, man. It was bad, but I turned it off like the first 5 minutes. I said, "It is a wrap."
We look forward to hearing her pick next segment. Up next, it was Darren McFarland taking West Virginia, 10-point dog at home against the Iowa State Cyclones. And the Iowa State Cyclones covered 38-14.
You know what the score was at half?
No.
I'm not making this up.
No.
14-0. That was the score at half. I'm like, all right.
That halftime speech really inspired the Mountaineers. Yeah.
I was watching. I was like, all right, okay. Yeah. 14.5. All right, we got this. Come on, Mountaineers, let's go. Let's go.
Iowa State pulls away and makes Darren McFarland also 0-7 on the season.
I turned it off pretty early on the second half.
Nick Cale was the...
For the clean sweep of everybody losing and not covering.
Well, not quite. Nick Cale took Texas, 10.5-point...
Oh.
Dogs against Oklahoma, and Texas did cover 34-27. So, Nick, congratulations. You were the only one who picked an underdog last week that actually covered. But you don't get any points for it.
That means nothing.
Thank you very much.
But thanks.
Ryan. But, you know, the new default in life when you fail, I'm just going to use blame Roger Saffold. I blame Roger Saffold.
It's all his fault. That's your reaction to that game?
He was a captain.
Ken Wisenhunt's been gone long enough, so we can't blame him anymore. So I guess that's what you're saying. That's the new guy to blame?
Yep, we blame it on Big Red Ice.
Okay.
All right. So last week, week seven. There you go. The sound effect that I was looking for. First up for week eight, next segment, will be Kelly Holcomb. Mm. That will be coming up next.
Okay, I will.
For the start of week eight of Silly Underdog Picks, brought to you by Volunteer Hose and Gasket.
And followed by, do we have like the rest of the order?
You're just I'll get give to it. I'll get to it.
Pick.
Yeah, I'll get to it.
Why Kelly sifts through Montana Tech's stats.
Cheater!
So there you go. Who's got the second pick?
Second pick is Chase. Third pick, Chris. Fourth pick, Darren. Fifth pick, Nick. And then D-Mace.
All right.
So that's your order of picks for week eight.
All right. We'll be back with these wonderful selections On the other side, Darren, Donick, and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game.
There's no need to fear. Underdog is here.
When criminals in this world appear and break the laws that they should fear and frighten all who see or hear the
welcome back in, Silly Underdog Picks, brought to you by a Volunteer Hose and Gasket, ESPN 102.5 The Game, Darren, Donick, and Chase. It is time for the Week 8 selections. Before we get to the Week 8 selections, should I update everybody on the standings?
I guess.
Chris Sanders in first place with 29 points. Kelly Holcomb in second with 26.5.
Let's go.
Derek Mason and Nick Kale tied at 10.5. And then Chase McCabe and Darren McFarland to my right.
Tied.
Both tied with
0.0.
So.
0.0.
Thank you, Max. Appreciate it.
What week is this?
This is week 8.
Week 8. 0.0.
Have we crossed the midway point of the college football season?
Yeah. Yeah.
In this contest?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
This might be the midway
point. This may be the midway point.
Yeah. Okay. You guys have some work to do. First up in week 8, it is the one.
Out of perspective.
And only Kelly Holcomb.
Country roads, take me home to the place I belong.
Screw West Virginia. Was my mic on? I'm sorry.
Well played.
Well played. I like it. Okay, once again, I have two games, and I hope I don't make the wrong mistake this time. I'm just going, and I'm still going to, you know, Chris is only 2.5 points ahead of me, so I'm going to hit singles here until he gets lucky with his girlfriend again and maybe hits another one.
He's not listening, Kelly. He's talking the whole time.
That's fine. Okay, so I'm going to say that the Boston College Eagles defeat NC State.
Look at Kelly Holcomb trying to just matriculate that ball down the field.
That's right.
Boston College at home this week against NC State, a 3.5-point dog at home. According to CBS, Boston College 3-3, NC State 4-2.
Boston College is yet to win on the road, so I'm hoping that holds true.
Well, there you go.
Sorry, what am I going to say? Good pick, Kelly.
It probably will be, knowing Kelly Holcomb's track record.
I mean, 3.5. I can't even look at 3. I don't even know these games exist.
I mean, they've been playing a backup quarterback too, but he almost came through last week against Louisville.
Oh yeah.
So you feel pretty good about that pick?
I do feel pretty good about that pick. I like it. I mean, NC State hasn't won on the road yet. They're 0-2.
Okay. All right. Well, next up in the competition is the one and only Chase McCabe.
Cause lonely guys come in, never broke my heart. Lighting down the rings and football teams have torn this boy apart. Like a neon dream, it just don't know me.
I think maybe I need to start doing this contest after a few ice cold beers, but because this is where we're at right now.
Would it matter?
Probably not.
As Darren with his mic off just profusely shakes his head.
Would it matter for you?
No.
Yeah, okay.
Well,
that's what I thought.
I'd probably pick West Virginia again if I was drinking.
I made the joke with Chase last week, figuring that Florida was going to lose at LSU, saying that, you know what, just to get on the board, you should go with a half point or 1 point spread this week. But we'll see. We'll see what he has up his sleeve, Chase.
I could do that, but I'm not.
What's your pick?
I'm not going to.
Okay.
I'm going to go to the Big Ten.
Oh.
We got some attention. And I am going to take the Michigan Wolverines on the road at Penn State. 9-point dog. Let's go, Jim Harbaugh.
That will be under the lights in prime time.
and you wonder why you're 0-8.
Yeah, I
he's actually 0-7. He's actually 0-7.
0-7.
Well, I think Nick was saying now you're 0-8.
Right.
Yeah.
We'll see. Penn State usually plays well in primetime at home with the whiteout.
Yeah.
Hosting Michigan. Michigan 5-1, Penn State 6-0. Penn State, again, 9-point dogs at home in primetime against Michigan. That is the pick for Chase McCabe.
Giggity.
That's wax.
Next up for week 8 will be Chris Sanders.
Let's go. Yeah. All I do is win, no matter what. Well.
Up.
Yes, sir. And they stay there. Well, here's my pick.
Okay, they've taken it.
Hey, guys.
Oh, whoa. Wait a minute. Curveball.
Is that Chris? Chris, did your voice just... Did you just take a swift kick?
This is Chris's better half, yeah?
Oh.
This is Ashley.
Ashley, okay.
Yeah.
Kelly?
So he gave me the phone and told me I had to do its pick, which is, sure, okay. He said Vandy over Mizzou.
Ooh. Yeah, now, wait a minute. Right. Ashley, whose pick is this? Is this your pick or is this Chris's pick?
It's his pick. And I know. No. Listen, I know there is a huge point spread. What, is it like 21?
Yeah.
21.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's aggressive. I told him to play conservative. Yeah. He doesn't listen to me until
that's
he
aggressive.
Was. See, I wasn't going to get involved until after week one when he took Florida Atlantic. Won at Florida Atlantic over Ohio State. I was like, oh, babe, no. So I had to get involved just a little bit.
Vanderbilt.
But I try to stay on the backside of it, and I just tell him point spreads and who's a good pick and who's not a good pick, and he just takes it from there.
So I'm confused. We're confused. So we're happy that Chris did the right thing and let you get on there, Ashley. But why did he make the pick? Like, this should be your pick.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know. We go with like 3, and he's like, we got to do this. And he like pumps me up, and he's like, it's 21 points, and then we'll take off. I'm like, you're in the but still, babe. And I'm like, you're in the lead, just play conservative. He's like, no, that's what Kelly did, and we passed him, and now we gotta just go for it all, and you know he is.
Okay.
Field goals are okay, Chris. You
all
should
right,
know.
Hold on, I'll give the phone back. Here he is.
All right, so
let's go!
Little insight from the track star. The track star wants to just keep running downfield as fast as he can.
All right, so Vanderbilt 21. Point dogs at home on Saturday afternoon against the Missouri Tigers, the 22nd ranked Missouri Tigers. Missouri is 5-1. Vandy is 1-5.
Okay. Thanks for the confidence.
I don't think many others on the panel were circling that one.
All right.
Well, I've sworn off the state of Tennessee, so.
Okay. Good for you. Up next in the competition, it is DMAC, Darren McFarland.
I have not lost my confidence. I haven't. I just say it 5 times over and over in my head. I haven't lost my confidence. I haven't lost my confidence.
If you keep telling yourself that, do you feel like you will remain confident?
Yeah. I think.
You sound very confident right now.
He looks confident, too. You should see him.
I need a timeout. How many timeouts do I have, Max?
You're out of timeouts.
We got the wrong unit on the field. We look like we're
a mess. There's too many men out there!
We look like we're a mess! This is not the formation! Why is the punter out there? I said, go for it! I'm going for it.
Uh-oh.
I just told the punter to get off the field. Uh-oh. Get the heck off the field.
Fourth and 15. Here we go.
I have watched Iowa for the last 2 weeks, and their offense is just like my picks. It stinks. They're a 17.5-point favorite versus Purdue. I know Purdue's been dealing with injuries, but I'm not impressed with Iowa. Their defense is good.
Mm.
I'm going to take a chance on Purdue.
They're beat up, though.
They're beat up, I know.
And it's in Iowa City. So Purdue on the road, 17.5-point dogs against the 23rd-ranked Iowa Hawkeyes. And I don't think Rondale Moore is playing in that game.
They're called silly for a reason.
Yeah. So
no confidence, huh?
Well, I'm just kind of setting expectations here.
So I looked at it.
So you don't like me pulling the punter off the field on 4th and 14?
No. Okay.
So Darren goes with the Purdue Boilermakers. Again, 17.5-point dogs on the road at Kinnick Stadium against the Iowa Hawkeyes.
Nobody even say anything. That tells the story. Everybody just keeps groaning.
Yeah, a little
now
bit.
You know why you're over.
So up next in the competition, Nick Kale.
When it comes crashing down and it hurts inside. All right, boys. We got to get off the schneid here. We got to get some winners. This is getting downright ridiculous. How many weeks has it been since I picked a winner?
I don't know.
Too many?
All right. So I'm going to go Arizona State. I'm going to back Herm Edwards against Utah.
Man, I thought about that one, Nick.
Gosh, I thought about it, too.
Thought about it. Dang it.
They've already defeated Michigan State, Cal, and I believe another big team as well. So they get up for big games. Give me Arizona State.
Arizona State, 14-point dogs on the road at Utah.
Yep.
I like it.
Both are ranked teams. I haven't watched a whole lot of Arizona State, and I haven't watched a whole lot of Utah, but the fact that Arizona State and Utah are both ranked in the top 20, and that's a 14-point spread.
They beat the crazy Pirate. Like you said, they beat Michigan State. They lost to Colorado. That's their only hiccup. I think that was Forever Titans pick. I think he won with that game.
So
I like it. It's probably got a better shot than mine. So good pick.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe. So that is Nick Kale's pick for Week 8. Now we wrap up Week 8's picks with Derek Mason.
All right, turn the music off. Enough. Scott says tighten it up. Scott says tighten this thing up. All right, here we go. UCLA. I'm picking UCLA. There we go. Y'all got it?
UCLA, 3.5.
D-Mace.
Road dogs.
Right.
Is that game tonight at Stanford? Yeah, it is tonight.
That's tonight, yeah.
At Stanford. So UCLA, the Bruins, the Fighting Floyd Reeses on the road at Stanford. 3.5-point dogs. That is the pick for Derek Mason. Was that on anybody else's board?
I don't even look at 3. I don't look at 3.5-point games.
Does nothing for me.
I don't look at those games.
Yeah.
All right.
They don't even exist.
Okay. So those are your Week 8 picks. Let's review very quickly. Kelly Holcomb, Boston College, 3.5-point dogs at home against NC State. Chase McCabe, who is 0-7 on the season, looking for his first victory, going with Michigan on the road at Penn State under the lights. 9-point dogs is Michigan. Chris Sanders going with Vanderbilt. 21-point home dogs to Missouri. Darren going with Purdue. 17.5-point dogs at Iowa. Nick Kale, Arizona State. 14-point dogs on the road at Utah. And Derek Mason going with the UCLA Bruins. 3.5-point underdogs at Stanford. Gentlemen, and I mean this sincerely, especially to the two in the studio here, good luck.
Yeah, whatever.
Appreciate you.
Guys, thank you. Enjoy the week off. Chris, enjoy Gatlinburg. Kelly.
Appreciate you, man. Thank you.
Best of luck against Oakland tomorrow.
Thanks, man. Good job, Ryan. You did great. Thanks, man.
Look, appreciate the support, Kelly.
The ringing endorsement from Kelly Holcomb on Ryan Poore's work as the commissioner. We'll come back. More of Darren, Donick, and Chase. Don't forget our weekly, our first installment of Elliot Friedman coming up at 1 o'clock. More coming on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Always fun. Do silly underdog picks. Don't forget, you, the listeners, get three picks every week. We've got weekly winners. It's never, never too late to jump in our contest. We have weekly winners. We have grand prize winners. And you heard Ryan mention Kim, who won last week, and she's going to Music City Bowl.
That'll be very cool.
So there's sports tickets. There's concert tickets. There's great prizes. Just jump in there. Pick three teams that are underdogs and collect points if they win. Let's be honest. There's a whole lot of you out there that are better pickers than us.
especially us right here in the studio right now. But, yeah, a lot of fun. So go check it out at thegamenashville.com.
We're going to talk to Elliot Friedman at 1 o'clock. We're excited about that. Plus, we'll have Predators tickets to give away after that interview. Wanted to quickly also mention that 1.2 million people right here in the U.S. are living or in remission from a blood cancer. Now, this is important because we had a really good conversation with Rod Gilmore a couple days ago on the show, and he does really good work as a college football analyst for ESPN, and he has been dealing with a rare blood cancer, myeloma. And he talked about multiple myeloma is what he talked about with us. And ESPN The Game Nashville is teamed up, and there's going to be a Light the Night walk at Nissan Stadium. That's going to be Friday, November 1st. That is just around the corner. And you could be a part of saving a life or being a part of the event, which if you want to find out more details or to be a part of the event or just contribute, you can go to lightthenight.org/events/Nashville. Once again, lightthenight.org/events/Nashville. And I hope a lot of you do get involved.
Yeah,
like I said,
for sure.
Even if it's just to contribute.
Yeah, for sure. So I actually donated a little bit. So go to the game Nashville and check that out. A couple of notes about the Titans opponent that I have seen.
I've seen some stuff coming out.
They have placed Travis Benjamin on IR. Mm-hmm. So yet another player
goes down for them, wide receiver.
And so this tweet coming out from Ian Rapoport, the Chargers, who have been killed with injuries all year, get a big boost. Russell Okung could return and play this week with Melvin Gordon shaking the rust off. That could help things out, getting Russell Okung. We talked to Eric Williams yesterday from ESPN, and that was his status was up in the air of what could be going on with Russell Okung. So if they get him back, that's going to be huge for the Chargers.
So there you go. Bad news and good news.
Yep. They're stud left tackle.
And we pointed out earlier the record since they've been in Nashville is not good against the Chargers. They only have one win, and that came in, 2013, right?
Jake Locker, right?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. 2013 was the one win against the Chargers since they've been here. And that's going back to 1998 when they played at Vanderbilt and lost to Ryan Leaf and the Chargers, but they beat then San Diego in September. It was the third game of the season, 20-17 back in 2013. So the history has not been good, but there's been a lot of news. We had Rishard Matthews on in the second hour of the program, and really, I guess a lot of it was, the way I took it, was him kind of just questioning the leadership. He would have liked to have seen Marcus exert himself a little bit more, insert himself into, getting everybody going, right? He said at that position, you've got to do that, and it's tough. And even use the word baby. Mm-hmm. They've babied him and forced him. It's kind of like, hey, you're the quarterback. You have to. You have to.
You have to be what you're not, essentially.
You can't go. No, you have to go do this,
Right.
Because we've said it before, you're not going to change his personality. And if he never had to speak to anybody, it doesn't make him a bad person. We know he's a really good person, but you can't play that position and make that money and be the number two pick overall in that league and hide. You just can't. It's impossible.
No, you can't.
Well, you can, but that means if you're hiding, that means you've gone away. You're out of the league.
And, look, you heard in the interview with Rishard Matthews that he, you know, he even continues to say that he's a nice guy and you want it to work, but at some point, you know, it's year five. You kind of have to say, all right, well, maybe it's not working. We got to try something else. And, you know, I look at Twitter and, you know, a lot of people are responding to his quotes. And, you know, we all understand how Rishard Matthews left and that wasn't the way to go about it. And I think he realizes that. And we all, of course, knew that.
Well, but he even brought up in the interview about he was kidding, but I don't know how much he was kidding. I've even kidded with my wife, but, you know, it didn't seem like he was really kidding. Like, I should have just swallowed my pride. And sounds like I took it. It sounded to me a little bit like he definitely misses being in the room. He misses the game.
And I think we've all been in situations where maybe we didn't make the right choice at the time. And if you could go back and do it again, you would. But that's life. And just because he, you know, left the team under those circumstances, and some people, you know, tweeting saying he's a quitter, well, you know what? It doesn't necessarily make him wrong in what he's saying.
I know. I kind of laugh at that stuff. I mean, I expect that.
And you're entitled. People are entitled to their opinion think what they want.
But as you said, it's well documented, his story. Sure. It's not like – so I ask everybody out there, so you think that we should not have him on because because of that? So what – what he says has no relevance at all? Like, he doesn't know the room? He doesn't know either quarterback because of how it all ended for him? And I get it. You're not wrong in thinking that. We've said it here on the show. He quit on the team. He did. He quit on this team.
He did.
But that doesn't mean that what he says about either Ryan Tannehill or, in this case, Marcus Mariota is wrong. He was in the room. He played with them. Okay, that's his observation. It's his opinion. Because of how it ended here, why does that make what he said wrong? You can still be mad at him. You can still call him a quitter if you want. But does that make everything he says incorrect or a lie? I mean, what we're not supposed to have him on because of that? Why is it irrelevant what he says if he quit? So he quit. So what does that mean?
He still knows what's going on. I mean, he was still here. He still witnessed the things that were happening. And so I don't think you can just be so quick to dismiss what somebody says because of how they left a situation. I mean, that's just – again, people are entitled to how they want to feel, but I'm just telling you, I don't think you should dismiss somebody because, oh, well, he quit the team, so anything he says, I don't believe. I don't think that's the best way to go about it.
If you listen to the interview, I'll tell you, me being honest, I was surprised at how much he praised John Robinson in the front office and the Vrabel. Head coach.
Yeah.
I mean, it's one thing if he came on here and he was just like a flamethrower, right?
Right.
And he is just trying to burn down the place, right? You'd say, well, that guy's got an axe to grind. He quit. You know, you could come up with all. It was just the opposite. And by the way, for all the stuff that he did say, which in his mind he believes he's telling the truth, he also paid compliments to Marcus. I mean, he said nice things, but he also said, look, everybody roots for him. Everybody wants him to succeed, like we've all said. But there also comes a point, it's a results business, it is a business, and there's other things that you have to do to make it work. And that was his observations. That was his opinion. However it played out here, what does that have to do with anything? In my opinion, that's just the way I look at it.
Yeah, I'm the same way, and I think we all do the same thing. We always say, you know, Marcus is a good guy. I mean, that's what we see, and you pull for good guys. But at the end of the day, sometimes, you know, you can be the best person in the world, and you're not going to be the best at what you do. So I just think we've come to that point where we all, I think, wanted to see this work, and in the organization, to their credit, I mean, they tried to make it work. Did they not? I mean, they did everything. Mm-hmm. And even to the point of John Robinson being the general manager saying, you know what, this coaching staff is not getting the most out of this quarterback, so we're going to get a new coaching staff. So they threw everything they could, you know, to make it work, and it just hasn't. It's been the same. It's been inconsistent. And then, you know, Rishard Matthews is not the first former Titans receiver we have heard say, you know, Marcus needs to be more vocal. He needs to be more of that leader. I mean, Eric Decker said it after his brief period here. that, you know, I wish he would be a little more vocal and get in the huddle and command the huddle a little bit more. And that, I think, has been the biggest knock on Marcus, that he just doesn't take over. And I go back to my reference earlier.
And, oh, by the way, the head coach said that.
Yeah, the head coach has said that. And I go back to my reference earlier of Steve McNair. You know, Steve McNair was a quiet guy. He was, you know, he wasn't going to just bust in a room and start, you know, screaming and yelling and taking control like that. He was going to do it his way. But when he talked, you listened. That's the big thing. And I just don't know if that's the case with Marcus. I just don't believe it is.
I don't think so either. And it's not going to change, by the
no.
way.
No.
It's not.
It's year five. How many times are we saying that? It's year five. You can't just go, you know what? Today I'm going to call a players only meeting. I'm going to get in front of the locker room. I'm going to say, guys, you know, we got to get our heads out of here. You know what? And we got to go and we got to beat LA and blah, blah, blah. And however he does it, it's not going to happen. That's just not how he is. He's not wired that way.
When we had Kelly Holcomb on, and by the way, I think we're going to have Kelly on again tomorrow. We're going to have him on again tomorrow, because that was good. I wish we could have gone a little bit further, but he said that he believes, his observations is that Marcus has just lost all his confidence. And
yeah,
for and people out there that don't understand that, and I know there's a lot that don't get that. Like, how does a professional athlete that plays especially that sport, making millions of dollars, how could they lose their confidence? They're all confident. Yes, but in professional sports, you can lose your confidence in a hurry. You can, because at the highest level, whether it's the NFL or the NHL or Major League Baseball or the NBA, you are playing against the best in the world.
Yeah.
And while you were great at every level, you may have been the star at every level. It is very, very difficult. And at the highest level, you get humbled in a hurry. And if you can't dig your way out, it's very easy to lose your confidence.
Yeah.
Professional athletes, yes, who exude tons of confidence. Yes, they have tons of confidence.
They're
to do
also
what
human.
They do. They're human beings, and they can also lose it just like that.
And as someone that has struggled with confidence my entire life, I understand.
Do you think the Predators lost confidence in the power play last year?
Yes.
How is that possible? They're professional athletes getting paid millions of dollars.
They're human beings too.
Right. They absolutely lost confidence in the power play.
Yeah.
They did. They're human beings.
Right.
Yes, they're paid to play hockey, and they're great at it.
But if you keep doing something,
and
it doesn't
work. Guess what? You lose confidence in it.
Yeah.
That's how it works. It's real.
Totally real. And so I think that's where people, fans, and I love the passion, but you have to take a step back and go, you know what? I don't know what he's thinking. You know, I would imagine that Marcus Mariota, this is a week he'd like to forget. I bet he's been hurting, and not physically. Like, I'm sure that he is legit hurting because he feels like he failed himself, his teammates, everybody else, because he got sat. And, you know, that stinks, but that's a part of it. And you heard Rashard say it. You've heard others say it. I mean, Mike Vrabel said yesterday he's not closing the door on anything. This is 1 week against the Chargers. Who knows what happens? I mean, we have seen time and time again where a quarterback comes in. But to your point that you made the other day, you're kind of past the point of trying to spark something with Marcus. And for, you know, him
in
to
fact,
be
did
motivated.
You catch Rashard Matthews, the light, the fire, and it's like, it cracks me up. So you think a guy that has been forced to be a leader,
mm-hmm.
and a guy that, you know, isn't that vocal leader, is now going to have his fire ignite? Now you're going to light the fire? Like, why would he turn into something he's not? He's not going to ignite any fire. This is his makeup. This is what he is. You don't think he didn't have everything in the world on the line this year, coming into this year? Everybody knew the storyline. He knew the storyline. He didn't have a new contract.
Yep.
He knew what was on the line.
Right.
He knows what people have been saying. He knows people question that he can't stay healthy. He knows that people question this and question that. You don't think he didn't know that? So all of a sudden, now, this is the switch that gets flipped? No, that's not how it works. No. It's not.
Nope.
He's not all of a sudden become that's going to light his fire, and he's going to be this vocal guy, and he's going to come out and, you're not going to take my job. That's not his makeup. It's not going to change. It's what he is. Did you listen to his words yesterday in the locker room?
Yeah. And that till the day I die, like, know that I gave it my best like that.
Does that sound like a guy that's ready to flip tables over?
No.
I can't believe I lost my job.
I heard that, and what I've thrown out there to you and asked you about, it made more sense that, you know what, I could see him being done after this.
That's we will see. We'll come back. Elliot Friedman, our first installment with him. He'll be a weekly on this show every Thursday at 1 o'clock, and then following that, a chance to win Predators tickets after that. Fourth and final hour of Darren, Donick, and Chase next.